But soon he will learn manners. I will torture his body so that his soul learns to be humble.
Okay, he know we just talking here, right? I mean, we just getting people interested in
Cage Against the Machine.
There's a guy there who would not stop talking about how upset he was at the treatment of you at somewhere.
Really?
Let me tell you a story?
No.
And I was like,
what was he upset about?
I was like, oh, that stuff we can't talk about on air. But I was like, no, I know a DC. He's like, no, but the bishop. But then he dissed the bishop. So he'd slap him and whatever. And I was like, dude, I know who you're talking about. You know Ryan? Big Ryan. He does security, but he'd always have like bands at like the Berkeley bars.
Yeah. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Rolled with him, but it was like funny because I was like, dude, I know who you're talking about. But I don't think we need to do a protest or a boycott unless you're told that.
Hey, but you know what, though? That's how it should have been.
Run the fade.
All the way.
Run the fade.
All the way. Yeah, that would have been beautiful.
Yeah.
He's coming to town.
Yeah, who's going to watch that? Who's going to watch that? But still the illest eight bars.
Right.
To me, in my opinion, of a song that everybody plays at Raiders games, still my favorite verse on that song. But that's just me.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, as an MC, I think he's just, you know, so important. As a human being, somehow he's not.
Great quote by a genius philosopher from the 20th century by the name of Nick Carter, a.k.a. Merce.
Right.
Incredible musician, terrible human. They seem to go hand in hand.
Dude, did you just see this whole thing about what's his name, though? Paul Mooney, dog?
No, I'm seeing posts, but I'm not understanding. What is
this? What?
Paul Mooney allegedly, seriously, raped the son of Richard Pryor.
Damn.
I wonder what...
That is like...
So what is Paul blood. Mooney... I mean, I don't even know if I could touch that, but what does Paul Mooney have going... Because it's like, now to bring that up now, it's like, what was it last year? We were talking about Richard Pryor and Brando, so now it's like, what do you know, Paul?
Right.
I guess it's par for the course with a new...
But he wrote for Richard, right?
Yeah.
Wrote for Dave.
So, yeah.
Writes for everybody.
Right, exactly.
And so apparently it happened, and they caught up with Richard Pryor's son. TMZ ran up on him in New York or something, and they were like, what happened, blah, blah. And, like, you could see that he wasn't checking for it. Like, he was just, like, trying to, like, not talk about it. It was horrible. And, like, that's why
like
I believe it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, why I believe why it. But,
and they
up?
Said that Pryor was going to have the mob kill Mooney for a while.
Damn.
Because, you know, Pryor used to really be down with the mob.
Yeah.
Because of the pimp stuff.
And then also because of...
in the early Vegas shows.
Right, yes.
It was a mix of both.
And also the way he ran his house and all that.
Right.
Like John Witherspoon and stuff
like
that. Yeah.
Dude, it's really crazy, dude.
It's crazy.
But the whole thing is like, it ruins like everybody that you hoped was cool, that was famous, bro, has deep problems. And it's like, man, I can't like nobody no more.
Everybody's
it's like, I can't like nobody no more, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It's even beyond famous. It's like human beings, even and influential ones, they come with complicated problems. Mm-hmm. I was always glad that my problems were very simple. You know what I mean? Like, I smoked cigarettes. That was my problem. You know what I mean? Not to make fun of anybody.
Smoke cigarettes?
You know what I mean? Like, it was just simple. Like, hi. I smoke menthol cigarettes, but I'm not going to slip and fall and kidnap your child. You know what I mean?
It's
just very simple. I talk trash. I talk a lot of trash, but I don't have, like, you know, those other problems. Like, oops, I woke up in bed with your wife. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I found we are always surprised by people who we paint this avatar of.
Yeah.
Of this perfection, and they're not it, right? And then sometimes you got to realize, what does that have to do with the price of chi, right?
Right. That's facts right there.
But what does it have to do with anything? So let's say Martin Luther King.
Right.
Not the most faithful individual to his wife.
And you know what? No one talks about that.
No.
How fine Coretta was. You ever look at pictures of a young Coretta Scott King? Boy, she was the most. I would have hollered at her.
Shout out to Jay Electronica.
Did he say that? Did he say she was
Exhibit
fine?
A.
I don't remember the verse, though. I don't remember the...
It's a dream, it's a dream. And the flow was so elegant. Like, mm. Miss Coretta Scott King.
Boy, she was so fine. I mean, when I was young, I was like, wow.
Right.
She was devastated. And then you hear he was cheating on her, like, every week. And you're like...
Right.
Why, blood? You had the cold, like... But she was the Beyonce of the civil rights movement.
But he's also staying at other people's houses as he goes through the South, and who's paying for it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How you gonna get that money? Right? Yeah. So he is part part of it is part pimp.
That's deep.
Sad. I didn't think of that. And he was a cigarette smoker. But was his message, we need to fight poverty and integrate? Or is his message like, y'all need to work on your marriage? It's right. complicated.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
That's true.
It's complicated. And then the flip side, you look at Gandhi.
Right.
And his trash behavior.
He was hella racist, too.
Dude, right? He hated Africans.
Like, with real, like, they're not human vibe.
But yet loved Jamaicans.
How?
How? Do you know? Do you understand where that nose came from?
But you know what? You know what? You know what this really shows us all, bro?
That
is how flawed we are as a species, man.
Correct. We're
that
ridiculous.
You can have all this dopeness and then just be bonkers.
Remember
like,
we were talking about?
We all have a corner bonkers.
Right? Remember what I was talking about? We are all walking around finding reasons to decide who is the most important animal in the forest.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any real forests.
Yeah.
Right? It's ridiculous, right? When we were talking about earlier.
I remember that
biology stuff, right? The dominance hierarchy. We make these stupid decisions. Well, you know. These two people shouldn't be in this grocery store for organic food, so let me, I make more money than them, let me
you
push them
saying?
Out of the way, you know?
Dude.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous. And
it's
then,
crazy.
And then I can look back at them and go, well, I could probably punch through your chest, so let me.
Right. Punch through your chest.
Why even go down that road, right? That's not the civilization I want to live in. Ladies and gentlemen,
we doing this?
We are round zero, the cage against the machine.
Cage against, boy.
We are back. We are covering UFC 242, Nurmagomedov versus Poirier. I do want to take exception with UFC for calling it Habib versus Poirier. Like, Habib ain't got that last name.
Come on, bro.
Nurmagomedov.
But we know how problematic you are. Lot to catch up on. We are the premier podcast for urban culture, wellness, martial arts, meditation, and all that stuff we love. And we love watching UFC.
We love.
I am the sweet MBA. I am the resident striker. I have brought with me, if you remember, the Bishop of Hip Hop himself.
Salute.
Adisa, I won't say his last name and mispronounce it.
Thank you.
Who, if you don't remember, has an extensive background in Bay Area hip-hop and hip-hop journalism, but is also an incredible jiu-jitsu dude. And
Thank you.
History of, like, I'm leaving the club right now because I got practice tomorrow.
Yeah, man.
And I'm not saying that to, like, wave a flag at anybody, but we made conscious decisions to, like, train martial arts rather than...
We were really doing this before it was popular is the point.
And we didn't want to die.
Which was, you know, I mean, people really got killed at shows.
That's a big part of it.
People forget that part. People really did get shot at shows. And
yeah.
So you had to have a sense of reading the room. You had to know where the exits were. All of that stuff. True story.
And also,
for you new school cats, we're not talking about these random mass shooters. We're talking about just fools having funk and then guns come out.
Yeah, and having guns
shooting.
In the club, like, on general principle, though.
Yeah, mass shooting. Go to a show at Eastmont Mall. That's a mass shooting.
Yeah. If you ever been to the Stone on Broadway before they closed it, you already know. I got trampled damn near to death at the Stone.
Damn.
You know? Cause they started clapping and the door had a chain on it and I was against the door with my back. So I was like, oh, we gonna live. Cause I was like, there's too many people in front. Everybody died before I get shot. And then the chain broke and I fell back into the alley and everybody else was already running, bro. I got trampled Mufasa style. That's why I cried when I saw Lion King. Cause I was like, I have already experienced that. This is bad for the world. He's not gonna make it. I knew he wasn't gonna make it when I saw the movie, and that's why I cried. I didn't cry because it happened. I cried because I got PTSD, bro, from being at the Stone. Hip hop is real. That's a true story.
And my other co-host, co-founder Brain Damage, who has the selected style of enjoying fights and getting super hype.
And he just really knows what's
going
to happen.
He just knows what's going on.
It's the nuances. It's the small granules that he pulls out. Them pearls, boy, he just going to sprinkle them.
And he's sneaky because he checks about information that nobody else knows. Mm. So some current events to catch up on. If you saw 241, we saw that there is now, once again, a new heavyweight champion in the name of Stipe Miocic. Shout out to DC.
Yep.
You fought a hell of a fight. I'm not sure DC actually was in the fight.
Yeah.
I think his body was in the fight doing very well. I think his mind was at home with his father dying of cancer.
Right.
And so the question is, what's next for DC? Because he has two roads. He has the Tiger Woods road, where he comes back vicious and angry and hurts people. Because having lost a father in the last 9 years, I understand that power. You
That's
remember?
Hard, bro.
Remember when Tiger, right. remember when Tiger Woods lost his dad?
It was hard.
Remember how he'd start hitting the ball and looking over at everybody like, yeah, I got the hole in one and I want to fight? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, where are the chicken jokes?
Yeah.
Where's the chicken joke, right? So you got that, or you also have this attitude where he just pieces out and says, I'm done, I found peace, right?
Yeah, and you know, he had said he was going to stop fighting at 40.
Yeah.
And the fight got pushed back to where he wanted to stop in March.
And it kind of bodes...
Didn't fight till August.
It bodes weird because if you realize that's three of the second 2.0 AKA guys all getting ripped this year.
Can I say one thing about that fight, though, is that strategically, if you were going to hurt DC, you'd work that body.
Yeah.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like you'd work that body and... All he needed was to stay alive long enough for DC to start to get tired so he could work the body.
Yeah.
Right. That's all he needed. So, like, he survived, and that opened the window for him to damage him. And that's also, oddly, one of the things that even though it looks like people should have been doing that for a long time, they haven't been doing
no.
it. So I think it caught him mentally off guard when he got them first shots. Like, ding, ding. He was like, oh, and he's late in the fight. You know what I'm saying?
He also didn't wrestle.
Yeah.
He didn't wrestle.
Right, he picked him up and slammed him in the first round and then never tried again.
And then stopped wrestling.
Maybe he had injuries, because that's unlike him.
I think it's his dad.
Probably.
He just wasn't there, dude. He came back, remember? He came back to the stool talking about, am I losing? You know what I mean? It's just his dad. I know, that shit, it's like, because he probably wanted to be at his dad's bedside, let me get this over with, get back on the plane.
And that's a hard thing.
And his dad's like, go to work. And you're like, oh, you know?
I think people don't understand, like, as a fighter, how that's got to turn you upside down.
Correct. Literally, like the way he turned Stipe. Speaking of upside down, 2020, my homie, Brain's homie, the Sancho legend himself, Anthony Rumble Johnson, returns to the UFC heavyweight division.
Oh, yeah.
He looks really scary. I just saw a picture of him yesterday, bro. Yikes.
You know what I'd really love, though? Is your boy Greg Hardy is calling for a better opponent. Like, him and Rumble would be knocked out
City. Well, you know they're going to build him up to go against Ngannou. So, yeah. I think it's the recipe is great. You have the combat club with Henry Hoof getting his hands right. You've got an undistracted Rashad to head coach him. You've got Kamaru as a training partner. Dude, it couldn't be better. Shout out to Rumble again. By the way, Rumble spoiled the hell out of me and Brain.
Yeah,
he did. We at backstage at UFC 193.
Really?
Rumble's just like, hey, you guys want something to drink? Brain's like, oh, can I just get like a rum and coke? Rum and coke! Right now!
Wow.
Like, just wait, throwing weight around.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, hey, you want to meet Demetrius Johnson? Come here. Like, just spoiled, like, love that dude. Love that dude.
And
we told him, too.
Played a couple rounds of Xbox UFC.
Yeah. That's why I let him win.
Y'all are just bragging now, bro, because you know I wasn't there,
humble
bro.
Brag, yeah.
You just bragging because I wasn't there. That's
cool. We'll take you next time.
So, let me tell you about the first time I met Helio.
You met Helio Gracie?
Nice.
I interviewed Helio Gracie. He showed me how to escape from a wrist grab. Actually.
That's when you put the like OG glasses on you, like that.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, come on, man. Like, you know, The trembling tear, blood. I didn't get to hang with y'all. I didn't get to hang with y'all. Y'all talking about Xbox? Because you know no matter what you do in life, if you play Xbox, you really chill.
We're going to
be
there.
You know what I'm saying?
There.
Like, anybody can buy somebody a drink. Anybody can introduce you to somebody else. But when you're playing Xbox...
Dana knows he needs us. You're chilling. We'll be there.
We will.
Speaking of that, big week for sports in terms of business on the UFC. And I am speaking to you, one Mr. Yvonne Torres and Mr. Sean Ross. Let's talk about UFC and the business of UFC. Forbes released a story covering that the Fighters Association brought an antitrust legal action against the UFC.
Whoa.
On behalf of a slew of fighters, one of being the homie and mentor and legend of Sancho, Kung Lee.
What?
No. The lawsuit found that in a typical labor market,
right?
Okay, vocabulary terms for you, Double D, okay? This would be a monopoly case. And one would examine the actual dollar wages versus the challenge conduct.
Right.
Okay? However, this would be a really bad look for fighters considering in the UFC, the UFC pays these fighters more than any other MMA promotion.
And yet still.
And fighter pay has still been rising steadily over the year compared to any other competitor. So to use that one metric, you would say that everything's going great for the UFC. Except they brought in an esteemed economist by the name of Heil Singer. You know, not that smart of a guy. PhD from economics and PhD, MA in economics from John Hopkins.
John Hopkins.
BS in economics from Tulane. That smart. Not that smart, right?
I like Tulane.
Not Tulane. You know, kind of a University of Phoenix kind of guy.
They got... good crawfish sandwiches at Tulane.
You know what I mean? Hate you. He found that MMA is actually a special case where wage share should be examined rather than overall wage level. Simply put, they think that fighter pay should be compared versus the amount of money made in the entire industry.
Interesting.
So what's the missing piece? The other fight promotions refuse to say how much they're paying.
Shut your mouth.
How are they even able to do that?
That seems illegal.
Right.
Because, again, Bellator is owned by...
Viacom.
Which is a...
Right.
So even though Viacom's a public company, it doesn't have to disclose. This is what we talk about with record labels. Your record label doesn't have to put out its notes because it's a division of a public company. It doesn't have to tell you anything about what's in the sausage.
And I really thought when Viacom bought them that they were going to really start
paying the I am confused and hurt at the same time.
We'll post the article in the blog, by the way, you guys. But, like, this is Forbes. You can go on there, look at it, type in.
I'll just tell you.
Heil Singer MMA.
What I wanted to tell you, which you probably already saw,
mm-hmm.
just in general because of your due diligence as an individual, I saw where Ilana Van Zandt said today that she makes more money off her Instagram than mm-hmm. in the UFC itself. Dog.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, we need to think seriously, not just about how disrespectful that fact is, right? Like, whatever she's getting off of her IG should be put in a trust fund account for her kids and whoever else, her baby daddy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who also won recently?
These dudes... who we're about to talk about today, they're really risking
their
entire life, you know what I'm saying? Their ability to provide at all because one bad fight can ruin their whole future, man.
But let's ask, what do we watch? Well, not me. What do you think fans watch Paige VanZant for?
The right hook. No?
You look for that. What do you think fans watch Paige VanZant for?
Not me personally, but they're probably looking for the looks.
And the reason you don't watch and the reason I don't watch is because we don't think she can actually fight.
Right. See, me personally, I think she looks like a female beaver.
Here's
my bad.
Okay. Twice.
That's really deep.
Here's the balance, right? So there's got to be some performance conversation in there that doesn't sound sexist, racist, or whatever that can say, yo, are you winning fights? Are you actually entertaining?
But here's what I'm saying. Whether or not she is knocking fools out hella slick or whatever.
Yeah.
If she steps in that cage,
she
should be making more money than off her IG. Right. And that's wrong.
But for her, the unfair thing about comparing is for her, her IG for
most people,
horn dogs, right, is appealing.
I hear what you're saying.
Because she ain't on there showing you the workout. She's on there like, put him on the glass.
Mm-hmm. Look at my new surgery. She said,
put him on the glass, which is a rap term, people, from Sir Mix-a-Lot.
From Seattle.
If you ever really learned to, more than Baby's Got Back.
Yeah.
More than Baby's Got Back. Put him on the glass.
That's how far, well, let's get real. What was the most illest song that Sir Mix-a-Lot ever did off his first album, Swass?
Posse's on Broadway.
Wrong. Iron Man, and we're going to break.
Iron Man was not as good. Buttermilk Biscuits was better than that.
You know, Buttermilk Biscuits.
Don't tell them about that. Yes.
Buttermilk Biscuits.
Here we go. And my shirt is black as heck.
Mine's just flowers.
And we're back. Speaking of garments, shout out to Hawaii and your hat. And speaking of Hawaii, BJ, go home.
Stop going to the bar.
Get out of the bar, BJ. Go home. Leave people alone. Go home. Okay, moving on. We are Cage Against the Machine, round zero. We are here talking about UFC 242.
242.
Nurmagomedov.
Nurmagomedov.
His mama named him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay. Versus Dustin Poirier. Mm. This card might as well be called, and I think my blog post will be called, Dagestan versus everybody.
Boy.
A couple fights that we're going to talk about in the prelims that you guys should look at. Adesa is really excited about Omari Akhmedov.
Listen to when I tell you.
Versus Zach Cummings.
Listen to what I tell you right Pause. Now. Omari fights like every man hopes they can when it goes down. I'm talking about the hands are real. The slams are real. When he's in someone's guard, he is bombing like they disrespected his mom after Juma.
He bombs atomically.
Okay?
Thank you for explaining. Hold on. Our fans and listeners and Cage Cousins, all 10,000 of them.
All 10,000. Salute.
Juma, let's do an SAT equivalent. Okay? Because we can come back to
this.
Juma is... what? In a couple words.
So Juma is the equivalent of Sunday, right?
Sunday church to Baptist.
Right, so we gonna do it on Friday afternoons, right? So on a Sunday, after you coming out, you feeling good. If someone disrespected your moms,
right,
you would really go all out. And what I'm trying to tell you is Omari fights very aggressive. I've seen him do a lot of damage, people. Okay, so do not blink, player. Do not blink. He's gonna harm someone, bro. Remember I said it, bro.
One fight that I'm glad you brought this up. And if you haven't noticed the theme, half of this card, take the card, look at it. Draw a Sharpie line down. The left side of the card, generally, everybody is a Muslim. Card is in Abu Dhabi, which we should announce. The prelims start at 9 a.m., which means the main event starts at 11 a.m., just so you guys are warned.
Yeah, be clear about that.
Our official sponsor, Seawolf, is doing a brunch at 9 a.m. if you guys want to go over there.
You better get there, bro.
If you're into day drinking and whatnot.
I'm not into day drinking, but I'll take an egg.
I'm not into drinking. Right.
Can I get an egg?
I'm going to do some, like, juicing at my martial arts teacher's house, but we're going to watch. The right type of juicing.
Right.
the non-John Jones juicing. So this is an interesting fight. And it's so ironic, I was talking to you about this earlier, that half the card is Muslim, so I had to bring not only a master grappler, but a Muslim to help me explain these things.
So I also happen to be the jiu-jitsu and chess instructor at the only Islamic liberal arts college in America, which is called Zaytuna College. Thank you.
Nice.
Which is on University Avenue in the center of the universe known as Berkeley, California.
Yeah, Lecompton Scenic. So what I'm trying to tell you is...
I got the address wrong, sorry.
It's all right. Muslims around the world, I want to give...
wasn't his last name.
Just a quick thing. See, this is why he gets me, dog. Listen to what I'm saying, though. Islamically, Muslims around the globe, the world is about to feel a shift in MMA. And I've been waiting for this day since I first trained with Half Gracie. Okay? I said two things. Wait until black people find this.
University in Sacramento.
Wait until the Muslims find this. Now, what a lot of people don't know is, Abu Dhabi Combat Club. goes way back. Sheikh Tanun from Abu Dhabi basically funded for grapplers from all over the world, all kinds of styles, judo, whatever, whatever, come through Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and compete. And he's been doing that for so long, I don't even remember. I would say almost 20 years. It might have started in 98.
I would even, help me with this, the ADCC?
Yeah.
There's an Abu Dhabi Combat Club, right? Which is essentially the world championships.
Right.
Of jiu-jitsu.
Right. And it was no-gi pioneers. Pioneers of no-gi. You don't get like the whole 10th Planet stuff.
Yeah.
You don't get any of these things that you like. If you like Polaris Pro, if you like whatever, it all comes from the model, the archetype, the cornerstone of modern no-gi fighting starts in Abu Dhabi and Sheikh Tanun. So we have to start from there.
I never knew that.
What is my point, though? What is my real point? That Muslims are late to this game, but they're game. So you're going to see a lot of Muslim fighters that you didn't know about who are going to obliterate their opponents with reckless abandon. And remember I said it, and it will trigger a Muslim MMA storm around the world that will shift the axis of this planet in a good way. The Muhammad Ali of MMA is about to be born after this fight. Remember I said it. It has come. And the Muhammad Ali of North America is coming very soon just because brothers are starting to be able to train because they couldn't afford it.
I love the way he thinks. Right. And we can talk about that Muhammad Ali already came. However, I love what he was talking about destroying opponents, which is my fight. The real reason I'm watching this fight. Nordine Talib versus Muslim Sokolov, the king of kung fu.
This is going to be a buck wild fight.
Not tell you how much I love this man. Okay. Let's talk about why this is a little bit interesting very quickly. Okay, first of all, Nordine Talib is coming, really had a rebirth with his striking. He's one of the few people to be on The Ultimate Fighter twice and has actually been successful in his second time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he's not in Thailand learning Muay Thai, he trains with a little club out of Montreal called TriStar.
No, he doesn't.
Which is interesting because his training partner is a guy by the name of Alex Gomez. Now, why is Alex Gomez important? He is the only person to give a defeat in the UFC to one Muslim Sokolov, the king of kung fu, the Sancho stylings. I cannot tell you how much I model my fighting style after Muslim, okay? So generally, this is going to be almost a rematch. Now, if Nordine can get the takedown, we know that that's Muslim's takedown. He just is his weakness.
That's his Achilles.
That's his key. He can get down and be held by very strong wrestlers.
Right.
If Nordine does not close the distance, he's going to get cut in half in his belly with kicks.
Hey, let me tell you something about Muslim right now. If you haven't seen his highlight reel, he done punched a man backwards. I've seen him turn a man backwards and land on his face. I want you to think about how hard would you need to get hit to be turned around and land on all fours. For real, I saw that happen, man. That dude is very dangerous. And that's not even talking about how he slams people and sweeps them, bro.
High
crotch.
It's so fast and it's so explosive. Like, that fight may be the fight of the night on the low. That may be the fight of the night on the low. Because I don't even know what's going to happen, bro. I don't even know what's going to happen. Like, that is going to be hella dangerous.
I'm going to be watching this fight like...
hella dangerous.
And then the fight that Brain's really excited about. Remember the name Bilal Muhammad versus Takashi Sato. Why is this interesting? Bilal Muhammad is not from Dagestan, but he should be.
Because he's from the Dagestan of North America.
Which is known as Chicago.
Yes. As he pointed this out. I mean, you talk about
Shytown.
A Muslim coming from a war zone? Is that the theme?
Right. You know that his name when he originally came was like the Jihad Beheader? Yeah. Dane was like,
hey, our marketers may not be able to do anything with that.
Hey, you need to.
We're going
to
update that for you.
Now, Takashi Sato, you might think he's going to be a pushover. This dude.
Please believe that's not a fact.
And K1 destroyed a guy by the name of Bukau, who is an amazing Muay Thai fighter.
Right. Bukau is like, could we say he's the
the GOAT.
Over Sanjay?
I don't know.
Over Sanjay?
Dude, Bukau, at least in the conversation. I don't know, bro. I feel like Bukau is like the Jordan, the Dr. J. See, I'm going back. I'm going back deliberately. He's a classic.
See, when I talk champion. About basketball, my brain wants to fly away because I don't understand.
Too bad JK
but
wasn't
he's making
here.
Parallels for
get
you
well,
casuals,
my brother.
Yeah.
And I want him to do that. That's great. That's why we're here.
Let out a screech and be like, you don't know basketball.
Who is okay, so if
but Bukau was a real legend and he's devastated yeah, and Sato yeah.
If Sanchai
knocked him out,
if
bro.
Sanchai is Anderson Silva, Bukau is Israel Adesanya.
Okay. I can get with that.
Fair.
I did
I
it.
Can get
okay.
Fair.
So this is an interesting fight. I don't know how it's gonna go. Probably Muhammad by decision. Although, again, I'm still very worried about Rufus Sport. They're not having a good year, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and the thing that excites me about this one is that Sato has 10 knockouts and his 15 wins, and Bilal is just all heart. The dude is not going to give up. You're going to have to put his brain unconscious for him to stop.
And I'm talking about culturally. I might give a cultural little footnote here. Every Muslim on this card who is fighting a non-Muslim, bro, you will have to kill them to right. make them not win, bro.
I don't
They're
know,
in Abu Dhabi, bro.
I don't know if you know this, but in Sancho tournaments,
yeah.
like Iran
yeah.
and like the Muslim countries, yeah. you'd be like $1,000 for every American you knock out.
Really?
Oh! Yeah. So it's
hey,
on.
Let me tell you, like, I'm not playing, bro. I'm not playing. And this is a fact. I am not going to name names, but I know people who fought in Abu Dhabi against high-level people, and other rich Abu Dhabians would hit him up and be like, if you sub that person, I got 10 grand for you.
I got yeah. you.
Like, apart you. From the tournament, right, you may or may not win, blah, blah. If you sub X person, I got 10 racks for you on the low. That is real.
Brian Ramos.
Yep.
What is the first fight of the main card?
First fight of the main card.
What
I think
we,
that one is...
is that?
Not Yeah, Mirbak Taisimov and...
Diego Ferreira?
Diego Ferreira. That's going to be a good one.
I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know Mirbak.
I don't know him. Now you sound like Habib. I do not know him. Who is he?
Who is this guy?
Who is this guy? What can I say about this? I'm pretty sure it's Taisimov by decision.
I got Taisimov by KO.
By KO. That's how bad.
I know Federer is very tough to put away.
He is, but...
But as y'all were just saying, it's a whole nother level being out there in Abu Dhabi.
This will be a cultural memory for the Islamic world for many, many decades, man. I guarantee you, in 10 years, there will be people who be like, I did not know what MMA was until UFC in Abu Dhabi, and now I am champion with belt.
Right. And,
watch
and,
what I
and,
say.
And let's
watch
put this
say.
Out. Let's
I'm
put
so
this out.
I'm so glad that Andy Kaufman actually showed the torch.
That's my Muslim latke.
But let's be real. So this is the second event in
it's
Abu
not
Dhabi.
Racist when he
the
does
first
it.
Event was an outside event. They built a stadium for this event. So that yeah. tells me that they're like, "Oh, y'all are coming back every year."
Oh yeah. Oh, again,
you know
because
what I mean?
Because
oh,
there's dude. Such a jiu-jitsu culture there.
Oh dude.
And yeah. then plus remember Anderson the tide turned for Anderson there, right?
Right. Well, he won, but that was the
that, no,
that
was the one where like we
the
give you Weidman.
Fight where they were like, why
I'm
are you
give
taunting
Weidman.
So much?
Right. Yeah, I'm going to give you Weidman because Maya wants to lay on the ground.
Right.
Next up, we have Curtis Blaydes versus Shamil Abdur. I'm not going to do it well.
yeah.
Abdurakhimov.
Now, Blaydes nice. Thinks he's ready for the work. Who did he just come back from? He just lost to Ngannou?
Yeah, those are his only two losses of his career.
Right.
Ngannou is, you know.
A monster.
But no, he had one win after the Ngannou loss.
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
He had a comeback fight after the
he did?
Last
did he,
oh, what's his name? My boy. Big Sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He beat Big Sexy.
He beat Big Sexy.
Or Big Pretty or whatever.
Big Pretty. Yeah. Blaydes is not ready for the Dagestani wrestling. He's not really ready for this dude. He thinks he's ready. I could be wrong, but I don't think he, unless he's been over there for like 2 weeks, he's not ready. So I think it's Shamil by submission in this one.
Okay, so I'm gonna say that you're both probably right. However, mm-hmm. and this is just thinking about everything, right? Like yeah. Curtis Blaydes probably knows he's been put on the altar for slaughter.
Yeah.
And that may make him go to
push
a place
out.
He has
yeah,
not
yeah,
been.
Yeah.
And he might thug out. from just fight or flight.
Which I do feel like is one of the competitive advantages of our people.
Yeah.
Like when our back is against the wall, we're like, you know what? I've done slavery.
Like Cass can get like,
I will give you my superpowers now.
Cass might get real primal.
Right.
Yeah. I definitely know somebody's getting knocked out in this fight.
Yes, definitely. No, I think submitted though. No, I think submitted. I think he gets choked. Yeah. No, he gets choked. Back's taken choked. He's not ready for that level of jiu-jitsu. Moving on next, we have Islam Makhachev versus Davi Ramos.
Now they what do we know about Ramos? I'm not up.
Jiu-jitsu guy, been around, almost a UFC veteran.
Yeah,
came in as a young kid.
Okay.
And he's got a brother in it too. No relation to you though, right?
I claim it, but
your
no,
cousins
no
out relation. There, bro. You got cousins.
I got my cousin up here.
Every once in a while, I'm like, yeah,
give me some tickets.
Right.
Now let me tell you about.
He's got a 4-fight winning streak with 3 submissions.
It's hard to say his name.
7 submissions in 10 fights, or 10 wins, I should say.
Now Islam means peace.
Yeah, true indeed.
But there's nothing peaceful about this man.
Right.
Also correct.
5 wins in a row.
And if y'all remember, this is the guy who sneak duffed McGregor after the fight.
That's my dude. Okay, I want him to win off top. I don't care who he's fighting, bro.
remember that was when they said Habib, they're like, are you coming back? He's like, yeah. When Islam gets a contract.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember?
Right.
That's
right. Don't cut my boy.
Hey, don't cut my boy.
Hey, Islam, bro.
Hey.
One for the OG, bro. I want you to win, man.
What's the Dagestani Islamic equivalent of a weed carrier? He's like his. This is like Habib's, like Tony Yeo. What would you call it?
Yeah, that's right.
Is it racist to call it the carpet carrier? Like, what is it? Is it like an incense burner? Like,
you know what? He's your oud, man.
He's your oud.
Oud. Oud is an Islamic incense that we burn like before and after prayer.
Yes,
like I'm telling you, when I'm at Zaytuna. Yeah. All of our best sessions, we have a oud burner. It's like this silver chalice looking thing, and you cook it up, and the whole place just wafts up, man. Like when Stickman came to train, Stickman from Dead Prez, that's right. When Stickman from Dead Prez came to the Bay, I trained with him. I brought him up to Zaytuna, and I said, man, have the oud out there, bro. We opened the whole place up, burned it out. Listen, Islam is the oud man for Khabib, bro.
Shout out to Stick.
You know? Yeah.
Shout out to man.
Stick. And Dead Prez. Hey, Dead Prez just got me into a show in London, bruh. I got a podcast, Bishop Chronicles. I talk about it on the show.
We've been flaking on this guy.
Please come on my show, man.
Yes.
I'm your oud carrier, and you don't give me no love, bruh. I'm carrying oud for y'all.
But
By the way, ladies.
I haven't gotten an invite yet.
Ladies, so. good wives.
He didn't pass it
good
on.
Wives. You need something to say to your husband. He comes home. He needs a shower. He's like, babe, give me a hug. Say, no, I'm not in the oud. don't kill me. These are just jokes.
They are jokes.
I think Islam is going to just TKO this fool. He like Ramos cares. He needs to win. Islam don't care.
You know, another thing about Islam is that you got to understand that he's not just... He's so happy that he's getting to fight.
Yes.
And because he almost didn't get to fight at all.
Right.
He is going to unleash.
He's
going to
perform. He's dangerous. Right. And he's been dangerous for a while. He's been a problem for a while. Moving on to our next fight, which I'm super excited about because this also will bode well for some things I need to see. We have another 155 fight. We have Edson Barboza versus Paul Felder. For those of you guys who don't know, perhaps the best kickboxer in all of UFC is Edson Barboza.
Dude, I'm a fan.
Definitely one of the best leg kickers.
One of the best. Dude,
I'm a real fan, bro.
And it's very intriguing. So
this is actually a rematch.
This is a rematch. Now, according to Felder, he will not say that he had an excuse. He's very dominant Cruz about this.
Okay.
He had a stomach bug the last time they fought.
Right.
Okay. So he wasn't at a full 100%. That's interesting.
That's fair. That's on a fight level, you have to acknowledge that if it's a fact.
It's a fact, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, the second one is...
That's the type of warrior Felder is.
Yeah. Right, like, he's just going to fight.
I lost.
Right? And he's an Irish dragon, which might make him a character in Game of Thrones, might not.
I like
now,
it.
Barboza has not been active since his last fight against City Kickboxing, Auckland, New Zealand's own Dan Hooker.
The Hangman.
Now, that dude hooked me up. That's my boy. Now, Dan Hooker, on the other hand, I think that was kind of a fluke. I don't think he was fully there, as we just saw against Vic. Okay? Mm. So, I'm very curious. Here's the deciding factor. Climate will affect this fight. Now, we know Barbosa is used to the humidity of South Florida.
Right.
And he's used to the humidity of Brazil. But can he handle the dry heat of Abu Dhabi?
So what's interesting is, just to give you a sense of how ridiculously uncool the heat is out there, I was recently talking with Danny Prokopos at his martial arts school down there in San Francisco, and he used to be on call to teach one of the sheiks of Abu Dhabi, mm-hmm. right? So he said it was so hot that you almost had to live, like, as an American, as someone who's not from there, that him and a lot of the Brazilians basically lived in reverse, right? Where you were on call, if they called you, you had to go train them, right? Okay? But he said, like, you do not go outside during the day, like, at yep. all. He goes, because when you step just out of the hotel, he's like, you're in this great palace. He said, but when you stepped literally onto the sidewalk, he was like, boom, that he could drop you.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm hoping that all of these guys got at least 2 weeks.
You wish, but no. They're not probably not. Here.
Dude, because that heat's, yeah, like Denny was like, yo, it's not a joke. Shout out to Denny Prokopos, 300, you know how we do.
Yeah, I think this is going to be controversial, but I think this will be a glorious and wonderful war. It's not going to be a lot of ground.
Mm. Right.
And I think Felder pulls it off.
Ooh. I got Felder by the decision.
And you know why? You know what the deal is going to be too? Is Felder, knowing how sick he was, is going to want to show you what he didn't get to show you the first time.
Correct.
And that can probably make him steamroll Barbosa, but it could also make him reckless. So Barbosa needs to be clear.
And also think about climate again. Felder has to be in Vegas every week to do a fight.
So he's going
to
be way better in
And
theory.
The Midwest has that dry heat.
Ooh.
There's no climate. There's no time that Edson has to train for this heat. He just thinks he's the best.
But if Barbosa starts lighting that leg up, that could give him the advantage.
Yeah, but that dude had a great answer to that leg.
Is he still the only guy that
has had that belly kick?
Multiple knockouts by leg kick in the UFC?
Yeah.
He's still the only one, right?
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of leg kicks and knockouts, Double D is about to knock us out if we go over time.
He is. I'm not in the mood for that.
Right. I am the Sweet NBA. I am joined by my co-founder.
Brain Damage.
Also as well.
A decent bishop, not mean.
And I would be remiss in not mentioning that we are recorded, edited, and sponsored and created by Deshaun Davis, Regis Jefferson at Dream Air Productions.
Also known as the Hidden Hand.
Yes.
He stirs that drink, boy.
He doesn't have a oud carrier.
He doesn't.
He makes the oud carriers carry his oud.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after a break.
I got
oud for you, bro.
All three of us got oud.
And brown.
Speaking of black, again, shout out to Team Black, Dan Black.
Oh, I should have said an orange.
I love so many of
but
your fighters.
Do
amazing, amazing work with promotion. I miss CFC, but life goes on. We are Cage Against the Machine. We are here talking about UFC 242. Which the UFC is calling Khabib versus Poirier, but his name is
Nurmagomedov.
That's his last name, and we'd like you to learn his last name because he's probably going to be around for
a
while.
So it should either be Khabib versus Dustin or not Nurmagomedov versus
Thank you, dog. Thank you, dog. That's what I'm saying, man.
Right.
They always playing games.
Eagle versus Diamond Wars,
too. Put some respect on his multi-syllabic name.
On his full name, you know what I mean?
It's like a rap. Islamic multisyllabic.
Okay. Well done.
You like the bars. I got bars.
That was tight.
You're going to get this work. I got bars. Smack! Okay.
I don't have bars.
I want to stay away from bars.
BJ, listen.
Nothing.
No more bars.
No more bars, BJ. Stop fighting with people on the street, BJ. Show some respect. We are now at that time. It's my favorite time. It's his favorite time. We'll introduce
it.
We are ready for it. Shout out to JK. We miss you. Please get well. Can't wait to see you back. It's hard to do this without you, but we have to try to do our best. We are now time for the main event of the evening. Fighting. Out of one of the corners. Will there even be a corner?
I think so.
Yes.
No. I don't know why they call it an octagon and then a corner.
Because you got to have somebody to come out of, bro.
Yeah, you do. But they should change that dynamic in the vocabulary.
What is the... Mm-hmm. What is the actual term for a side in an octagon?
Yeah. Right.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I don't think there is. So they should just say, you should say this person fighting this person. We shouldn't say this corner.
Okay.
So what can we say about these two fighters? You have the 155 champion in Khabib Nurmagomedov. Okay. What does he bring to the table? First of all, he definitively broke Conor McGregor.
His whole life.
Which is important. Which is really important.
His life, bro.
It's really important.
He put into question his entire skill sets.
As much, it made a lot of his history questionable.
Oh.
I appreciate it. And it confirmed some things what we said. As much eyeballs as McGregor brought to the sport, he also brought a deep sense of toxic tribalism that needed to be dispelled. Khabib has a bunch of things. Being Dagestani, he has a long history of wrestling from an early age. His people have been the warrior class for the Russian army for many time. They also get a deep background in wushu, sanda, kung fu fighting. He then transported that over to training at a local gym by the name of American Kickboxing Academy.
Shout out to Javier, man, for changing the whole planet, bro. Shout out to Javier, straight up, for changing the planet, bro.
And also shout out to a certain guy by the name of Josh Thompson. Who saw the talent in a young 55 and said, this guy should be next.
That's real, nice. Man. Shout out to Josh.
Because I think we could celebrate all the money, we could celebrate all the things, but I think, you know,
MMA could be open minds, bro.
MMA could be as petty as anything else if you let it.
So to see somebody going, minds and hearts, man.
Throwing their arm and say, hey, let's let this guy in. Let's train him. Even if he can eat me.
Let's give him a shot.
Yeah, even if he could eat me for lunch, let's make sure there's lane. And so Khabib is able to bring that up, an amazing, 28-0 record now?
27, I think.
27 now. You know, has transformed it. What does he bring to the table? Of course, that wrestling, right? Pressure, constant pressure. So good, as you saw, even with the McGregor, if you can understand, he was able to tie McGregor's legs together using his legs. That's how good his wrestling is.
Right. Wrestled bears as a child.
And I do want to say, the first person I ever saw to do that for real was BJ Penn.
Straight up. Okay. So then you bring, on top of that, you get Dustin Diamond Poirier, which is very ironic because Dustin, you have to like his story. Incredible boxer with some jiu-jitsu under Eve Edwards, who was the rival of Josh Thompson. You see how it comes full circle?
Wow, that is deep. That's deep.
Jitsu.
This is why I like being on this show, because that's the stuff that I don't remember. That's the stuff I don't remember.
I love the story. Right. That's what gets me into it, is the stories, because I feel like, for me at least, I know that the coaches and the team are so much of the story and what pushes people.
Right.
So then when you bring in Dustin, coming out of Louisiana, coming into the UFC, bringing that spirit, being trained out of a lot of the American top team, and then climbing up the 145 ranks very well.
Yeah.
Remember, he was in my fantasy league. Yep. I was very excited about him. And then he had this fateful night one time where he had to fight this Irish guy.
Right.
And he got clipped, and I dropped my phone and walked out as Brain just sat there laughing hella hard.
And I'm so upset. He was in a position in that fight where if he would have won, he was probably the next challenger.
He was next to go. He was on the way to Aldo. And they littered that fight. And so it was really sad. It was like, oh, my God. And then Dustin goes to that. He goes to that loss. Starts over again at 155. Climbs back up. Goes and fights Eddie Alvarez. Has to prove that
Eddie Alvarez is a savage.
Right.
But also was a sucker in that fight and did some dirty stuff. But to be able to climb back and then to make the interim 155 title. So this is a very interesting fight. Okay, so.
And he had to put in one of those, how you say, like the request to get it overturned to a no contest.
They voted it a knockout at first. So to really touch on this, what do you think we're seeing here? Okay, this full circle. You got Khabib's pace. He just stays pressure.
Stay grimy, bro.
Right.
Cuts you off in the ring. He's obviously got the wrestling. At any time, there's a threat of, he loves the single leg. He loves that.
And it's unstoppable. Nobody can, it's weird because.
I've never seen him stuffed.
Let me tell you something about just like wrestling, and I'm not a great wrestler, but I do know that like when you see any given grappler who can hit any given takedown, like nothing, like that is years of work, man. Like, it looks like he just grabs the leg. Bro, there's timing. There's distance. There's level. Like, where their hips are to their head. Where their head is, their head and shoulders. Man, like, that is a beautiful gift. Like, don't just think, oh, he just grabs the leg, that you can grab the leg. Player, that is
training.
Masterful execution.
I got the jewel wrestling for you. So, again, I've mentioned this many times. This man really teaches young people, especially young people in urban communities, the connection between chess and jiu-jitsu and how it really activates your brain. And I love him for it.
Hip-Hop Chess Federation.
So you'll love this. Okay, I heard the jewel in the gym. If kickboxing is go and jiu-jitsu is chess, wrestling is a Rubik's Cube.
Ooh.
Oh!
I thought of you.
You just really rocked me world there. Wow.
Right?
That was so much stuff. I talked Irish.
You
see that? Yeah, right. You made me speak Irish. So, and I haven't even been there.
So then, you know, and then also his size. He's just going to come in at least. He's going to weigh in. Habib's going to weigh in at 155, but that ain't going to be what he fights at, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Now,
but then Poirier won't either, though.
No. Poirier has shown his grit time and time again from all the challenges we've seen over and over again, right? He also has an incredible amount of agility. His footwork is masterful, as you saw his ability to go in and out against Max Holloway, who had a range advantage on him.
Right.
True.
And his
That's
ability.
That's factology right there.
Right, to just slip and then come back with it, to dip. His boxing is like his coach is pretty good, you know, golden gloves. I mean, the way he boxes is incredible.
And these guys are finishers.
I would actually say that he has the striking advantage when it comes to boxing.
Over Habib. Here's what I'll say. Everybody said the same thing about McGregor. Everybody, and then who got rocked and had one hand out on the mat like he was drunk, bruh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, we may not really know what Khabib can do with his hands.
Also, respectfully, I may not know. I think also in that fight, there was no offense out of McGregor because he's so afraid of the takedown. Everything was about avoiding.
Right.
Those
he wasn't
legs.
Committing. He wasn't committing
right.
with his hands the way he would against other fighters, knowing that the bum rush was imminent.
Straight
and
up.
Guaranteed. Not okay. imminent. It was guaranteed.
And it's not a good idea to try to make these parallels. But if you look at the correction that, say, Henry Cejudo made in the second round, right, against Moraes.
Right.
And all his coach said, very simply, he said, stop backing up when you throw.
Yep.
Walk in. So take that same thing and turn that to McGregor. He'll have a whole different fighting style. But he was so tentative, throw and pull back.
But that's only if you're not fighting Khabib, dog.
Because whoever
you are going to get suplexed,
you're going to get
into the next millennium.
Right. Because the best level is you get a single leg. The worst level is you get the double, the power double.
Man, into the cage,
right?
So here's the question, though.
Yeah.
Can Dustin step in with courage and do what you just said?
Now
can
that,
he do it?
Also, he might be able to, because I think I'm faithful, but I don't have evidence. I've tried to look at his fights that he has the footwork to actually avoid the shoots.
But I think he has the jiu-jitsu to not be afraid as well.
To be fair, right? No. Well said. But have you ever seen anybody of this caliber of striking fight Habib?
His name was McGregor, bruh, and he got dismantled. All praise be to Allah.
But who else has actually had to deal with this on this level? Everybody has thrown at Habib and backed up in fear.
And if you think that trend is going away, you're out of your mind. Man is in the zone, bro.
He might
he
be
had
that crazy.
To sit down for so long. Bruh, he is going to dismantle Dustin.
But did he have to sit down or did he get a nice little...
He had to sit down, bro.
He
had
Ramadan.
To sit down. And you know why? They made him...
He got Ramadan. Come on, bro.
Listen,
I'm not stupid.
Listen.
He got Ramadan, bro.
Listen. He is not going to be in Abu Dhabi as a Muslim on an all-Muslim card with most of his homies on the squad and not lead from the front.
I get that.
Dustin Poirier, bruh. You know what? I respect you, bro. You are about to get dismantled, and it will have no blemish on your life, your card, whatever. You fought Khabib in the zone after he was caged. It's just what Allah wanted.
At the same time,
he has fought some strikers.
At the same time, I want to add some other dangerous, dangerous things that people aren't thinking about with Poirier.
Go.
From Louisiana, got some crazy.
Okay, that's fair.
At AT&T, got access, can bring in the big homie Eve Edwards at any time, but also at AT&T, aside from the boxing, you have, who does he train with? Jorge Masvidal.
That's a factor.
Bro, you, and I called this on this show, and people try, and JK fronted on me. I said, dude, the energy in the gym is different when your boy just wins a belt. Mm. And what did he do? What did he do to Askren? Mm. So then also,
obliteration.
So who else do you have to wrestle with? You have Yoel Romero.
You know what?
You have Hector Lombard.
Okay, listen. I am going to give all of that. Like, here's the deal. And I know I'm, first of all, I'm biased because I'm Muslim. That's number one.
Thank you for being
honest. I'm coming in biased because I'm Muslim. I want all the Muslims to win. All praise be to Allah. I want all the Muslims to be victorious.
I'm biased because I'm from the Bay Area.
You know what I'm saying? I want all the Muslims to win every fight, every time. That said, you are fighting Khabib and... You can train with Yoel. You can train with the ghost of Dan Gable. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you got to go against Khabib in his zone, you have signed up for something few people can do and even fewer want. And he, Dustin, you're a G for going in because I'm trying to tell you, you can train with anybody that you want. Khabib is in a crazy zone. There was a time, BJ has always been a problem for anybody in the UFC. But I used to train with him down in San Jose, and I'm trying to tell you something. Outside of BJ and JD and Reagan Penn being savages, there was a bad time to fight BJ. There was a bad time. And every champion, every real champion, they are champions by nature. But when a champion is in the zone, it don't matter what you come with because it's his time. Khabib, unless something just unthinkable that none of us can see happens, then Allah has willed that and that's what it is. But I'm going to tell you right now, Khabib is in the zone. He is opening the door for the Muslim world in MMA. And I do not believe Dustin will have anything other than a great fight where he ends up being submitted.
It's hard to argue with that when I said exactly, not exactly, everything minus God willed it. But I said something similar in April about a guy by the name of Israel Adesanya saying, having trained with this guy, it's a very bad time to fight anybody from this camp.
Certain fighters are in the zone at certain times, and this is his time.
Anybody from City Kickboxing is going to put work on people for the next 5 years.
With sparks, player. With sparks when
I came out the gym the first day like, all that I was saying, can I get you guys some iced tea?
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
This has been a blast. But look, before we,
you gotta realize that Poirier does bring some knockout power.
He's a G.
I still can't sleep on that touch that Michael
says.
Remember Michael Johnson? I still can't sleep on Michael Johnson touching that chin that night, dude.
And Michael Johnson was not the best striker he's fought.
At all.
He's fought Iaquinta. He's fought
dude,
Barbosa, Rafael Dos Anjos, Abel Trujillo.
At all.
So. Things happen in MMA where everything leads to this guy winning, and then
Holly and then Holmes it gets turned upside down.
Ronda Rousey it gets in the head, and everybody goes.
And then Cyborg gets obliterated,
mauled by Amanda Nunes.
Like it wasn't just a loss; it was devastating. And we have to admit that one of the things that makes MMA the beautiful sport that it is, but all fighting sports,
anybody
but,
can get it.
But that anybody can get it, and at this level. As much as I am biased because I am Muslim and I want to see Khabib and every Muslim on the card be devastatingly dominant, right? I want that in Allah's name for real forever. What I am saying is that the beauty of this is that anybody can get it. And if Dustin is truly the better fighter that day, nothing can stop.
I would say he's more well-rounded than Khabib, but Khabib is so dominant at what he does.
Speaking of anyone could get it, before we leave, I would be remiss in not using my platform to speak about some things I noticed on social media. This is a all-Muslim card, and I hope you, Mr. Jeff Glover, are watching.
What up, Jeff?
I found your comments on Facebook and Instagram about Muslims quite offensive.
Yeah, and you know what? He's fought in Abu Dhabi hella times, so he's been a recipient of Islamic kindness, friendship, and sportsmanship. And he, Jeff Glover, you are a great fighter. You are a great technician. You are a great innovator. And you are a pioneer of American jiu-jitsu. But you, sir, are a racist, Islamophobic, homophobic person who is toxic to the entire sport of jiu-jitsu. And I don't care how good you are. You could fly up here or drive up here and tie me up and break everything I got. But you know what? You'll never stop being who you really are. And I want the world to remember you for your racism. And if you want to remember that racism, you can go to my podcast, Bishop Chronicles, and look up the Jeff Glover episode.
Or you could just go over and challenge half of Dagestan over at AKA.
Yep. Keep talking about the Muslims, bro.
Since this is martial arts.
Keep talking about the Muslims, bro.
But I'm sure I could find a couple like LGBT gems that would touch you up too. So don't worry about it.
All I'm saying is, man, you know what? The sport deserves better than the attitude you have.
That's a very noble way of saying
it. And the thing that bothers me is that because you've traveled the world and you've specifically been to Abu Dhabi so much, and you've experienced that kindness, for you to speak against Muslims the way that you do. And I'm not saying you gotta pretend to be Muslim. I'm not saying you gotta convert. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying that you do a Brazilian art that has been innovated by Japanese, African-Americans, Africans, right? All kinds of people, including you. And the fact that you can't see the beauty and the humanity in all of us through the, as much as you've been around the world and as much as you've been a recipient of this grappling art, man, it's a shame. You should be ashamed. And I heard you're on dope, and I hope you are, so that you get clean and you do right.
And your last name is Glover, and if you want to learn about diversity, you should hang out with Danny Glover, because he did Lethal Weapon.
He did. He did.
Or
Tyrone Glover. Or Tyrone Glover.
Or Glover Teixeira.
Or Donald Glover, because this is America. All right, I am the Sweet MBA. I am joined by
Adisa the Bishop, West Coast for life, boy.
Bishop Chronicles, we're going to be on there soon. We also are joined by the co-founder.
Brain Damage.
Everything you see, hear, experience, and watch, even the fireballs that come out of my hand, brought to you by Dream Air Productions. We're here together. Enjoyed this very much. We'll be back in a month. See you at Seawolf. And without further ado,